I've got one question for you. Are you ready to get your game on?
The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. This is the Terracross Radio Edition, day number 2 out here, San Diego, Del Mar Fair. Chad Colby to my left, taking in quite a bit of racing action. We've got Daniel Weatherly in the house.
Hello.
Racing in the women's division. Man, talk about a great day of racing so far, and we still got more to come.
Yeah, we've got just finished day one here. We've got a busy pits with all the guys getting their buggies ready for the next go-around, and it's been quite an exciting day.
Yeah. Well, and Danielle, I mean, you guys, you know, women, you know, not quite as many entries as the guys, but still made for some exciting racing, I got to tell you.
Oh, my gosh, this course is crazy. It's the hardest thing I've ever driven on. Yesterday, Cynthia, unfortunately, her car, you know, got totaled, so today there's 4 of us, and the last final, I broke an axle, so I was out, so 3 girls total, and it's crazy.
Well, and you've done quite a bit of, you know, racing. I mean, how does this compare to the other racing you've done?
This is very different. Tight courses, I mean, other racing, if you kind of are scared of a jump, you can kind of check up and roll it. These jumps, you need to hit them. If you don't hit them, I mean, you're going into K-rails. So, it's, you know, it's different, and it's a lot more fast-paced and tight turns, and especially right now we're all in two-wheel drive. I've never driven in two-wheel drive before, so it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a big shakeup from day one to day two. You know, you guys are used to the track running in four-wheel drive. Immediately day two they said no, we're gonna run in two-wheel drive, and I mean, that's really throwing a wrench in the plans, right?
Oh man, it's like you're driving on ice, cars all over the place. It's just, you know, you got to find that right spot to hook up the tires, and you know, it's tough. I'm used to racing in four-wheel drive. That's all I've ever driven before, so it's just learning a whole new way to drive.
Yeah. What was the most difficult part of the track for you?
Definitely the long cement straightaway, because you only got 2 tires spinning and the front tires are just all over the place.
Right.
And trying to get into that left-hand turn, it's tough. I mean, you think you want to go fast, but you're hardly gone. The slower, the better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, taking that away, are we going to see you at the remaining rounds this year? Are you full-time?
Yeah, we're full-time. We'll be out at Hay Days next round and then following that at Charlotte. So we're pretty excited.
Yeah. What did you take away from this round that you think you can, you know, apply to say, Minnesota or Charlotte?
Breathe. Calm down. Keep it together and just, you know, you got to handle what's thrown at you. I mean, this race, there's been so many different things thrown at us, and you just got to adapt quick and just relax, and you'll get through it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good advice for anyone racing here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely breathe. So you guys are done for today, correct? The women's?
No,
you guys got some more racing?
Yeah, we've got about an hour right now. They're getting the cars kind of tuned up, fixed up, gassed up, and we do our day 2 final, so about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I know there's some fans outside. You guys signing autographs and meeting with the fans. It's got to be kind of a cool part of Terracross. You get to intermix with the fans, and they get to come up and see you, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I've never done anything like this before, so it's cool to have, you know, all the little boys and girls coming up, signing T-shirts, hats, and it's just a surreal experience. It's fun.
All right. Well, you got anything left for it, Chad?
You know, the only thing I'd add, what's it like knowing that all the competitors are on the same machines? You know, that's one thing when you talk about Terracross, what makes it unique is, you know, everybody shows up and here's your new Razor that's literally a couple days from the showroom. Put some decals on it, you know, fasten the seat belts and go racing. What's that like for you?
I mean, that is my favorite part about this series. And all the other series, I mean, you know, for the most part, it's down to money. It's down to how much work you can put into your car. And this, it's a driver's race. It's, you know, all the cars are even. Everything is the same. Everyone is running in two-wheel drive. Everyone has, you know, the same tires, axles, everything. So it really is up to the drivers. And it's all about your skill. It's not what the car can do. It's what the driver can do. And You know, there's really no other series that's like that. I mean, you think it's like that, but people are sneaky. So.
No. Not, you've never seen that before.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Never sneakiness, yeah, right? Everybody's always looking for an edge.
Yeah,
yeah, it's if you're not, then you're not a real
then
racer,
you're not
I
really
guess.
Racing, that's right.
Yeah, so, well, good luck to you. You know, get to do it again here this afternoon. And, you know you had a solid run. I'm sure you'd you know, like to put a little pressure on Sarah this go around and, you know, so you can walk away with a win, huh?
Yeah, no, Sarah's a great competitor. She learns so quickly, and she's been in this her whole life. And, you know, I'm honored to be racing next to her. So
that's, I think that's, everybody says the same thing. It's so fun being around people that you just don't get a chance to race with. And that's what makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate the time, Danielle, and good luck out there this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you later.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
All
right, that was Danielle Weatherly, a competitor in the women's division. Solid run earlier today. You know, we saw some great racing, both in the men's and women's division. I mean, you know, and talk about that battle we just watched in the first main of the men's. I mean, Cole Coutu, the young gun, he was putting it to Mickey Thomas, man.
Yeah, he was.
I think a couple more laps, he may have had it. It was a great battle.
You know, that's one of the things that you notice about this. You know, we start with a full field, and then we got guys taking chances and. Taking chances in Terracross a lot of times means you break parts and you go sit out the rest of the race. And I think we saw that a fair amount here in this too. But what an exciting day. I mean, it's just fun. Huge fans. Oh, my gosh. The whole side. I don't know if you turned around, Jim.
Yeah.
That whole side was just chock full of people, loud. What a fun day at the fair.
Yeah, it was absolutely anybody that hasn't come out. I mean, you know, if you're in the San Diego area, listen to this live. You know, we've got about an hour, you know, and we've got an LCQ for the men. We've got a men's main event. We've got a women's main event yet to come. I mean, still lots of racing action. Get out here to the San Diego County Fair, and definitely going to be worth the price of admission.
Yeah, absolutely. Other thing, too, check out the Terracross Championship Facebook page. We've been just pouring videos and stills and all kinds of pictures and stuff on there. And we'll have a lot more to put up here over the next week or so as well. But it's been a great day.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. You know, obviously, you know, everybody, I was kind of the first one with a big spill yesterday. But since then, I mean, we've seen so many of them.
You're talking about your first spill or the second? You're talking about the
– Well, I was the first person to have a big spill. I didn't say I only had one. But, but you know, it's just, you know, it's exciting. I mean, we just saw an absolute veteran in Darrell Rath. I mean, a guy that I have an immense amount of respect for. You know, both on, you know, ATV racing, UTV racing, the guy's done it all. And here he goes and stands it up on end, you know?
Right. Well, so. It's, you know, that's one of the things we, to keep the racing competitive, you mentioned it earlier in our broadcast this afternoon. You heard you say we're running two wheel drive. So, that kind of evened up the field again. And when I say even it up, it kind of evened it up and then separated it a lot because there were some drivers that are still having some trouble adapting to that. And some other guys like Darrell. Who, man, could just pick up on that pretty quick, and you could certainly tell in their times.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, what did they get? Three kind of practice laps in two-wheel drive, and they changed the course overnight, too. I mean, there was some subtle differences. You know, some of the corners changed. I know the rhythm section changed, so definitely with Terracross, you know, they like to change it up and throw wrenches in people's programs. We definitely saw that today, and, you know, and shoot, you know, probably the favorite going into the main event, RJ Anderson, I think he lasted a lap.
Yeah.
You know, and
he was in the pits when I talked to him when he came in. He broke a front axle or something up front, a arm or something up front broke, or maybe it was a tie rod in or something. But you know, we probably should mention to your listeners what this race is about from a machine standpoint. These 2016, they are actually the newest model, just off the factory at Polaris.
Yeah, I don't think they've even hit dealer lots yet.
No, they haven't. And they just showed up here. Basically, we raced yesterday. They came in the day before, literally. We throw some decals on them, some beadlock tires. It's all the same for everybody. What an amazing form of racing. I mean, who wouldn't want to do this?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's... Well, and we saw that Josh Koscheck, you know, professional MMA fighter. Anybody that follows MMA knows the name. I mean, the guy's a legend. And he comes out here just spectating yesterday, talks to the owner, Joe Duncan, says, hey, you know, I think I'd really like to try this sometime. And and what do you know? The next day he takes their marketing vehicle and Josh Koscheck is racing it out there today, you know. So it really, I know Tanner Faust in attendance and, you know, and checking things out. And it just just the immense amount of diverse backgrounds you see in this sport.
Right. But that's what makes it fun. everybody's on the same machine, but you got people from all walks of life. You got your guys in the snow, you got your guys in the desert, and then you got your guys that just don't race much at all that want to come and play and do this. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I saw Daryl Rath just walk in, and we can get him on air. We're going to see if we can snag him in a second, talk about his exciting, I don't even know what to call it. You know, I've never seen something completely stop up on end like that.
Yeah. Well, he climbed over for our listeners. There's like two sets of tires. It's like
the Mystic Mangler.
Yeah, there you go. It's a step up. And when he came up, he got front end. And obviously, Daryl's a veteran. He knows how to normally lay that thing back over. But he didn't. It just kind of hovered there and then rocked right back on the bumper. And he sat there and the crowd went crazy.
It almost reminded me of, you know, you see monster trucks do it and stuff like
that's
that.
Exactly,
you know, and it
right.
was, you know, the crowd absolutely went nuts. You know, and, you know, in this sport is probably one of the most entertaining motorsports I've seen. I mean, this and Monster Jam, I would say, is just, you know, it's definitely all about the fans. And they're definitely getting their money's worth today.
Well, there's so much of the time where, you know, the first or second lap goes by and you got your leaders 1, 2, 3. And then the next lap, the second place guy gets hung up and now he's back to fifth or sixth. And, you know, obviously now he's motivated. And then everybody, you know, it's a lot of fun. I think the fans really enjoyed the day today.
Yeah. Well, and we're only partway over, man. And,
that's right.
They were on their feet for that main event. And, you know, the way it works here, we get to do it again. And, you know, I got to give the track workers credit because this thing went together and pretty much we're gonna get Daryl Rath over here. Even if it's just for a few seconds, we got to get Daryl in here. And the man of the hour, the guy everybody's talking about, everybody's talking about you, probably not for the reason you want them to talk about you, but you were definitely the fan favorite today, Daryl.
Yeah, we we made a mess on the Mystic Mangler over there, but you know what? It's one of those things. At least we got things put together in the last chance, and we won that. You know, the car worked awesome, and I just ran around and tried to run my own race and try to figure out the lines because in traffic it's really, really tough. And, you know, we got out there in the main, and we came from, you know, the last roll, and just kind of picked my way up to the front, and I was running with a Colton, and next thing you know, I throw it away like that. That was just completely my fault, and it is what it is. We're fixing the car. We'll be back out.
Yeah. Car okay, Daryl?
Yeah, we just twisted up the cage, and they didn't want me to rerun it, and I respect that. It was a safety deal, and I parked the car.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, you know that. You're a professional.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, and I mean, your lines, I mean, you definitely put your homework in. I mean, you could see you were taking different lines than everybody else and definitely making up time. I mean, you know, really smooth. I mean, give you credit. Guys were all over the place, and you know, had some of the smoothest lines we saw anybody run all day.
Yeah, it's really, really tough to practice patience out there, especially when you get in that kind of heat of a battle. But you know what? If you can take your foot off that throttle and just pedal that car, the car will accelerate on that slippery cement. You just got to keep your foot out of it. And if you can seriously light that car up halfway down the straight yet if you do it. But you just got to keep loading, and just get it to go.
Right. Well, you could certainly tell watching Daryl that, you know, the handful of guys, I would say the top third of the drivers could honestly figure that out a little quicker, I think, than some.
Yeah. Well, and we saw a couple of guys spin in that corner, and they just get on it and light it up, and they just sit there and spin and spin and spin, and they weren't going anywhere, and two or three cars would go by, you know, and it's eased back into the throttle. And, you know, but you guys, and we've got Dana Creech sitting down next to him, and, you know, you guys understand adrenaline gets pumping, and, you know, sometimes common sense goes out the window, right?
Yeah, it's really tough to practice, you know, slow down to go faster. But that's really what you have to do.
Yeah, I agree.
It hooks up good on them tires, huh, Daryl?
Yeah, the tires had plenty of traction. You know, that was great traction there. Rubber to rubber is always good, I guess. So
that was good shit. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you were bouncing out. We grabbed you, but appreciate you sitting down with us, Daryl. And good luck out there. We got another round to go.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And looking forward to getting back out there.
All right. Thanks
a lot,
buddy.
Good luck, Daryl.
Good job, buddy.
All right, we got Dana Creech sitting down, and you know, you are a busy man this week. I know working on the track. I mean, you're riding with Katie, right? And you are just the jack of all trades.
Yeah, that's definitely scariest time I've ever had in a vehicle so far.
You were waving at us when you went by in the announce booth, though. You were giving us a thumbs up waving.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
I don't know if you were waving it for us to stop or.
No, she did really good. She did really good. She came a long way since our first lap. That's for sure.
Yeah.
She just, every lap gets better. It's just a totally new thing from what she's used to, so, and a new car, so.
Yeah.
And then they throw it into two-wheel drive today for us, so that was really a mixed monkey wrench for her, you know.
Well, you as a driver, I mean, how's that shake things up, you know, going from all-wheel drive to two-wheel drive?
I like it. I think it's good because it's actually – you're finding really out who the drivers are now more, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can drive four-wheel drive. If you can cruise around this track and two-wheel drive good,
you're a driver.
Yeah, you're doing something.
Well, I know even some of the jumps changed and, you know, moved some of the corners back and the rhythm section got changed. And no, you're one of the guys that, you know, helps develop this course, right? You know, I mean, what goes into your thought process in designing one of these courses?
Well, obviously this time we had to change it a little bit for today so we could hit everything in two-wheel drive. So we just kind of, you know, obviously pushed turns back, made everything doable. I always look at it. I don't measure. It's all the seat of the pants when I build stuff, but usually we can do it first time out, go out and hit the stuff. So
It
works out pretty good. It's just a lot of training and trial and error over the years. Yeah. We got so many thousands of hours in the dozer, you know, and going out and jumping. We did freestyle shows back in the day, and I'd always be out there, do the lip like this, a little more here. And finally, I got to learn how to do this myself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, coming from the snow side of things, it's kind of the same deal. You know, you either have a knack and understand how to build the track and how to have places to get out of the way and all the little things that people don't think about, you have to put into building a track.
Mm-hmm.
And here, especially where it's tight, where we need every inch, basically, especially in the arena, where there's no room. But you know what? It didn't take long in that long concrete straightaway where you were doing it, where guys were staying to the, you know, to the heart of the right to keep half the machine on some soil rather than the slick concrete. And the distance was, you'd gain four lengths on a guy compared to somebody that wasn't doing that. So it really showcases a driver.
Yeah. Well, and how's it changed it up for you? I mean, here we've got a little bit more room. I know, you know, going to Haydays in Minnesota, it's, you know, it's like a bull ring. I mean, everything's just compact. And, you know, I mean, you as a course designer, I mean, you know, obviously you get to have a little more fun with the design here because it's more wide open. I mean, but, you know, something like that, how do you pack that much course into that tight of space?
For Haydays?
Yeah.
Yeah, Haydays is a mission, especially because we got our course that has to go around two freestyle landings and four freestyle ramps in the center.
Right.
So coordinating all that together is a big-time project for us.
Right. Well, and safety. We got to make sure that it's safe for the drivers and the fans because at Haydays, I mean, oh, my gosh, you know, for the group listening, I mean, it is, I don't know, 20, 30 deep all the way around, solid people. Everybody stops what they're doing. There's 40,000 people there. And when those machines start flying, everybody's there. So it's got to be safe for everybody. And you do a great job.
That's our main mission. You know, we're trying not to put anything close to the fence, like a berm or something that's going to push them out. You know, you're always thinking of safety and passing, you know. Passing is my main thing when I'm building the track because as a driver, I know how hard it is to pass if you're on the same track. We always have multiple lanes at our races. And what's good about being a driver and being on the track and the dozer, we'll go out there. I see this not working right here. We'll go adjust it just a little bit, and it evens up the lanes a lot more than just sitting there watching it, I think.
It's too bad at Haydays you couldn't get 100 feet, which one way or the other would just make the difference.
Oh, if we could add a little bit,
you know,
to that.
Move that fence south
a little bit, it'd be so nice.
Yeah, add another 100 feet would make that.
I've been begging for it.
Yeah. You got to get creative at Haydays.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It's fun, though. It's fun to get creative. They let us dig down there as far as we want. So.
Right.
You definitely get to change it up. You change the every year; it's been different.
We had a neat, up and under thing last year where you jumped over. And
yep, that over was, under. We were all over the place.
That was fun.
It was fun. It was a good layout last year. The track was twice as long as the year before.
Yeah. It totally was. Yeah.
They told me you guys. Obviously, I wasn't up there. I've seen the TV, but they said you literally used every square foot of possible.
Oh yeah, everything.
So that being said, I mean, we still got some more racing on tap today. I mean, you know, how do you prepare? Obviously, you know, first LCQ main event, you know, probably not the way you wanted it to go. I mean, still got another shot at it, you know.
Yep. But
how do you change things up?
I got to get second. I'm not break this time. I broke my axle, for anybody who didn't know. I broke my axle last lap in the last chance qualifier in qualifying position and couldn't finish the race there. Couldn't jump the step down into the building, so didn't get to race the main event. So we got a whole nother chance. I'm doing last chance qualifier here in just a little bit. We're just finishing up the track, and hopefully I get to go to the main this time and join the main show.
Yeah, for
sure.
That'd
be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like it, you know, helping design these tracks gives you maybe just a little bit of an edge?
I think getting to look at it so much definitely makes me more comfortable with the stuff like the jumps and stuff. I'll come in first lap and hit the stuff when people are a little worried. But what helps out for the whole series and the drivers is we pretty much walk everybody through it that's not comfortable. We'll take them for rides through the thing or let them follow us.
You know, one thing, Dane, I was going to even talk to you about off air, but since you mentioned it, you know, one thing I've noticed, especially, you know, yesterday, was it's almost like for some of these true rookies that don't have your experience, right? It's like they almost need a mandatory, like you did earlier today, a mandatory 4 or 5 laps, because the problem is guys get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And especially here where you don't have the easy route. It is commitment.
You're committed
and,
here.
And these machines, I don't want to say they're finicky, but you know what? You got to do it right. Mm-hmm. And it's all about speed. It's not necessarily hold it to the floor.
No, you got to drive our tracks. Our tracks are professional tracks each time. It's not the everybody can just hold it to the wood off them. You got to step out of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to brake before. It's just
it's commitment,
definitely
got
to drive it. You got to drive your car, and this is how. That's what this is about. That's why we got all these talented people here and
mm-hmm.
letting them showcase their abilities, you know, in front of the people.
All right. Well, right now we got your driver, I guess, Katie Vernola, sitting down. We'll get her mic'd up here. And, it just so happens she sits down. We got Dana on air, so we'll grab you both for a second and let you get your mic all adjusted there. All right. But how's everything going, Katie? I know we got Dana here, and he says, man, you've tremendously improved, throughout the weekend. You know what? What's in store for us later on?
What's in store? You tell me. Who knows out here? I don't know. You have a game plan. It all goes out the window once a green flag drops, that's for sure. It's pretty chaos out there, but the jumps are gnarly. The tires are, I don't even know what you call that. I'm making U-turns. He starts screaming. I start screaming. I mean, the GoPro footage is awesome.
Guess it.
Oh, poof, there we go. So it's going to be a great GoPro footage, I swear, if you guys hear that.
You guys need audio in our car.
Yeah. That's funny.
You had audio in our car. You left.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you could see Dana pointing things out as you guys were going. And so, you know, I think some of the guys that, that are co-driving in the women's division, they're literally along for the ride. I don't think they say anything. Maybe they're saying prayers. But, Dana, you can tell he's really trying to help you out and make you a better driver, you know. And I think just by seeing what we've seen from yesterday to today, it's definitely, I can see the improvement,
Good. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate it, Dana, so much. Every step of the way, like you said, he's kind of been directing me towards which lane was better. You know, he's been out on the track. He built it. He knows it in and out. So basically just him kind of giving me his input or advice is huge.
Right.
You know, the first thing I did when I asked him, I need a co-pilot. I'd love for you to drive with me. You're going to kill me, and I'm a horrible co-pilot. I said, I promise I won't kill you.
Don't ride with anybody.
Yeah. Maybe some bumps and bruises, but I swear I won't break a leg or hurt your noggin. So far, we're so good.
What did I say my stipulation was?
Oh, God. Do we even go there?
You can tell.
Okay. about that.
I said, I'll ride with you, but there's one condition. I was like, I get to go to the Playboy Mansion.
So, we've had a little talk with Hef, and we're working on that. I told him, you know, you got to get your spiffy outfit on. You can't show up the mansion looking like this.
Got my alligator shorts.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Might actually shave to go to the Playboy Mansion, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Put on that birthday seal. Weehaw.
Yeah.
I tell you what, next year, now knowing the thing, you know, you co-drive with Katie, you get to go to the Playboy Mansion. You're going to have, you're going to have 1,000 guys lined up on you. I'll do it.
Awesome. I'll take it, dude. You know, you may be the first one, but I'll see what else I could get out there. Maybe some funny videos. Who knows?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, I know, Dana, we don't want to keep you too long. I know we got some LCQs in Maine, but appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck out there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dana.
You guys coming out here.
Appreciate all your hard work.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana. Rock on, man. All right, we'll see you.
All right, take it easy, brother.
See you, buddy. Yeah.
All right, so, Katie, you're in the hot seat by yourself now. I mean, you know, take us through this weekend. Obviously, you've done some UTV racing the past couple of years. I mean, you know, how is Terracross shape up with that?
Oh, boy. The racing style I do is nothing like Terracross. I'm used to Lucas Oil, where it's short course. The jumps are far, 150-foot step-ups. This is straight up and down motocross style. Right. This is like nothing I've ever done before. So something I'm used to, and then jumping into a brand new car I've never driven in. I race a Polaris Razor 1000. I do have my suspension hooked up with Walker Evans perfectly. So that does a huge difference when you're cornering.
Right.
So I'm kind of, you know, every lap it's getting better and better. So hopefully just take it as it goes and trying to learn every step of the way. You know, every time you go around, you hit a different jump or a turn. So right. It's never the same. And that's, you know, the best part. Dun, dun, dun.
You know, we got another race here, you know, coming up real quick. Talk with Danielle. I know she's, you know, hoping to make a few changes and you know, see if you guys have something in the tank for Sarah. I mean, how about you? You got any ideas on, you know, on narrowing the gap a little?
Oh, yeah. Stay on that butt. And if not, get in it, get on it, move out of the way. you know, we are a competition. We're all tight. Most of the girls out here I race against in my series, so it's more of a already a battle going in here. We race against each other. We have our differences out on the track, and then we come here, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's all down to the driver. It's not the money. It's not who's got the better setup. So this is, like, where it comes down to, you know, the nitty-gritty of where we get down, and it is what it is, or watch out.
That's yeah. right.
Well, and I know, you know, not only Terracross, you're pulling I don't even want to say triple header. I don't know. You're running Terracross, then you're going Saturday and Sunday to Glen Helen for a double header there, and then at the double header, you're running two classes. So you've got four races then. You've got two races here. That's six races in a matter of 4 days. I mean, that's pretty intense.
I know. Yeah. I mean, coming into it Thursday, two rounds, Friday, two rounds, Saturday, two rounds, Sunday, two rounds, and my 900, my 1,000 to a stock 1,000, it's all different driving styles. It's not the same. And if I do, I'm going over. and we don't want to do that. So it's going into it about a month ago. I've been really pushing myself as hard as I can in the gym, trying to eat as much protein, nutrients, you know, all that blah, blah, boring stuff, just so I'm capable and not tired and keep my heart upright. Just because, you know, it's a lot. It takes a lot of your body, and, you know, you're holding on for dear life and stopping Dana from screaming at you. So it's been fun. Really
That's
thankful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to come on air, and, you know, good luck out there and, you know, the second main event and then this weekend out at Glen Helen.
Yeah, thanks. I got a third today so far, so hopefully I'll keep on going up and get a first and hopefully get a podium in that 900, 1,000. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Katie.
Thanks,
well,
Katie.
Well, Chad, we got to take a quick 1 minute Polaris Razor break, and we're going to have Scott McFarland on air with us when we come back.
That'll be a good one.
Absolutely. So stay tuned here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. This is the Terracross Radio Edition, and we're out here at Del Mar Fair, Terracross Rounds 1 and 2, and we'll be back after this short break from Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Levi LaValle, and I choose Polaris just because they have the best quality, highest performing, most fun machines out there.
Only one company has taken Levi LaValle to 10 X Games medals, snowcross championships, a double backflip, and a world record long jump of 412 feet across the San Diego Harbor on New Year's Eve, and that company is Polaris. Whether it's dominating the X Games, racing a stock Polaris Razor XP1000 in the Terracross Championship, or just hitting the trail on the weekend, for over 20 years, Levi has relied on the same quality Polaris vehicles and products you can purchase at your local Polaris dealer. Take the advice of action sports legend Levi LaValle and visit Polaris on the web at Polaris.com to see the full lineup of Polaris vehicles, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
All right, welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. This is the Terracross Radio Edition of the Down and Dirty Radio Show out here, Del Mar Fair, Terracross, round one and round two, San Diego. We've got Chad Colby here. We've had some great interviews so far, and we've got Scott McFarland sitting down in front of us, Terracross racer here. Give us a scoop, Scott. I know out of action today, I had a fill-in driver. I know, you know, you and I are both on the mend, I guess. But, you know, how are you doing?
Doing okay, all things considered. Came out here to Terra Cross for a great weekend. This is my second year racing Terra Cross, and it's just fun. It's really challenging. Doesn't matter what kind of racing background you come from. This is going to throw some curveballs at you. So I'm just happy to be here. A little disappointed yesterday in practice. I took a hit really hard, kind of messed up my back a little bit. And, you know, you want to race the desert, you got to have a strong back. So I decided to play it safe, sit this one out. And we got ourselves a really nice fill-in, so he's doing a great job out there for me.
Yeah. Well, and in addition to Terracross, you know, what else you got on tap for you this year?
We've been focusing this year on Baja, running all of the Baja races. Started off really strong this year, won the San Felipe, and the way that the overall points champions work, doesn't matter what class you're in, but you get additional points for the number of people in your classes. And so we were tied in second with B.J. Baldwin for overall champion. Tavo Filadosa was in first place, and 3 points separating the three of us. So
wow.
Starting out really strong, so it's kind of interesting to show up with a UTV to the Baja and to be a contender for the overall champion. So very interesting the way that that all works out, but that's been our main focus, desert racing down in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, how does that transfer over into Terracross? I mean, I know me from, you know, desert racing standpoint, obviously, you know, had some troubles yesterday. That's an understatement. But, you know, how's it been for you making that transition from desert racing to, you know, like the big Supercross style we see here at Del Mar?
Yeah, it doesn't transfer at all. Zero.
Honest. That's honesty,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's pure honesty.
Yes. Would you not agree?
No, I would agree. I would say I was, you know, it's something new. You know, people don't realize, oh, you can race a trophy truck, you can race anything. Well, I'm here to say obviously I can't, you know, and it's the tip of the cap to these guys that can, you know. And I'm sure, you know, you take a guy that really excels at Terracross and throw him in a desert razor or a trophy truck, and there's going to be a learning curve there as well, you know. But I think that's what's great about Terracross. You mix in so many different people with backgrounds.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of guys here that with backgrounds in racing, short course, UTVs, a lot of things like that. You always know who the desert racers are because they're the ones in the wall stuck upside down on top of something. So,
Well, I'm looking at me, you know, you, then there's Chad Raglan who's had troubles.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a lot of desert racers there, and all of us have struggled this weekend. So, I don't know. But, good to hear, though. Back's okay. I mean, you think, you know, at this point made the right decision?
Oh, yeah, for sure, you know. We'll heal up. It'll be fine. Just needs a little time. Just did not seem like a smart thing to do to put on a helmet today and go out there and beat myself up again on some of these jumps and whoops.
Right.
It's pretty rough out there, you know. They throw 16 cars into the final inside of this little teeny arena, and, man, talk about just a cluster.
Yeah, that's what we were laughing about. Started out with 16. I think it was 5 running at the end of the 12th lap.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely incredible. But super excited about Mickey Thomas. Just won the last race, and so he won the main event for the day. Mickey's my partner in the desert, and so on the long races, you know, he'll take his turn behind the wheel, get the car to me, and then we just try to finish out the race strongly. But yeah, congratulations to Mickey Thomas, man. The guy can just drive anything.
Yeah, he's a wheel man.
Yeah.
He is. You know, he's out there right now taking bets, trying to race shopping carts with people. So I don't know. Something wrong with the kid. Yeah. Something wrong
never
with
bet
him.
Against him, right? So what's up next for you? Is it Heydays or are the desert program? You got something between now and the Baja 1000?
Yeah, we've got the Plaster City race coming up over here just out on the east side of San Diego, out in the desert.
Yep.
Nel Centro. So we'll go out there and make a whole bunch of dust, go around in some circles till we all crash and see how that comes out. But yeah, that's our next scheduled race that we've got going on with SCORE.
All right. Well, you got a little bit of time to heal up, and then we got a couple of rounds of Terracross right after that, so you have a busy September.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy come fall.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you taking time to catch up with us, and we'll definitely talk to you soon, buddy.
Right on. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. All right. That was Scott McFarland, driver of the Mystic Lubricants Raceline Wheels Razor here in Terracross. And it looks like we're going to have Joel Sylvester here in a second, the guy that was actually filling in for him. Joe, no stranger to racing himself. Get him mic'd up here. And Joe, run some torque, some short course, Monster Jam driver in the past. Now he's racing dirt late models. So Nice. Yeah, you're all over too, Joe, talking about that. I mean, you know, we're talking, and obviously Cynthia, she was supposed to drive my race in the women's division. That didn't happen because of reasons we all know. But, yeah, I know you posted up on social media, never leave home without your helmet, right?
That's right. Everybody always asks me, why you bring your helmet everywhere? Well, this is why. You never know when you might have to fill in for somebody. Anytime you go to a racetrack, and, you know, anybody knows me knows I'll race anything, anytime, anywhere. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and how was it for you? Because, I mean, obviously you didn't get the practice sessions yesterday, you know, kind of thrown in there into Scott's ride. And, you know, obviously you raced Monster Jam. You've got the short course background doing some dirt late models. I mean, how did that all transition into the Razor?
Oh, man, these things are obviously a totally different animal. You know, I've got one back home that I drive a little bit here and there, but I don't, with my racing schedule, I don't have a lot of time to do much with it back home. And it's, you know, back home in Ohio, there's not really any series, anything like this back there. So, you know, we race go-karts, and I race dirt late models, and then last year I raced the Pro Light and Torque. So, yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that I take from it and bring into this, especially running these things in two-wheel drive and on the concrete. You know, it's somewhat like driving a late model on dry slick. You know, right. You got to be real, real ginger on the throttle coming out of the hole. Otherwise, your tires will never stop spinning. So, but we've been having some major axle troubles this weekend. You know, I got like three laps of practice and got warmed up a little bit, got a little bit of a feel for it, and we got second in the LCQ. I was running third in the heat and then broke an axle. So then we had to go to the LCQ, took second in the LCQ and made it to the feature, and got a little hairy after that, broke an axle again.
Yeah. Well, with the guys that were sitting out of the main event, I mean, you know, jumping in, kind of be thrown to the wolves, it's got to have you, you know, a little bit, you know, excited that you made the main event, because a lot of guys sitting out, you know, and with literally a whole lot less seat time than them, you made the show.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked on that. That was my goal, was make the feature, and if we can just, you know, right, finish that race, I think you'd be in top five or top six, which really, that's the way it happened. You
that's
know,
right.
Just about everybody crashed out or broke something, and I was trying to just run some clean lines and stuff, and you know, just trying to have a good show out there. And I appreciate the guys that gave me a chance to run this car to 42 of Scott McFarland. I'm glad he you know, believed in me enough to go out there and run it for him and try to gather up some points and represent his sponsors for him.
Yeah. Well, you got the right attitude, because that's one of the things here is it's not all about your right foot. I mean, you can overdrive these jumps way, way too easily, and you see it lap after lap. And you know, the other thing that comes with experience, and you're getting it by the lap, is you also got to take care of that car, because you hit one wall, you hit one thing, and all of a sudden you're breaking an axle, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, it couldn't have had anything to do that I monster trucked up and over a Jersey barrier.
Well, no.
No, I couldn't. No. Maybe that's why the axle broke this time. It broke one turn later, so.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you. I mean, obviously you've driven monster trucks, you've driven Torque, short course, you've driven dirt late models. I mean, out of everything you've done, what transfers over the most of this? Is it monster trucks?
No, the short course stuff does.
Yeah.
The short course stuff does, just because it's about survival to an extent there.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of guys that are out there just beating and banging off of each other, and if you just got to kind of keep your cool, stay smart, don't get frustrated when somebody bumps you, and, you know, just try to run some clean lines, and it's a sprint race, so you have to make opportunities to pass. You can't just lay back and wait for the right opportunity. You got to dive right in there, and you got to make something happen.
Yeah. So what's up on tap for you? I know, obviously, filling in this weekend, you know, and what's up for you? I know you're doing a lot of dirt late models and kind of filling in with some other events here and there when they pop up.
Yeah, really, the dirt late model is now my new main focus. I really, really like it. It's seriously the most intense racing I've ever done in my life. It's fast. It is everybody you're racing are guys that have been doing it like their whole lives. So, I mean, we had a really good weekend last weekend at my second race. When we get home tomorrow, I got another race on Sunday. And we got a really busy couple months coming up with the late model. We got some big races coming up. And, you know, we're pretty excited on it. I got my Drive Dirty apparel that we're taking to the tracks and selling and trying to brand that. And it's going pretty well. The dirt track's been pretty good to us so far. I've got a really top-notch team that's running my program for me. I'm really, really enjoying it. And yeah, like you said, I'll be doing some monster truck stuff this year too. Actually, the guys that bought my truck a couple years ago are having me come out and drive one of their trucks a few times this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and I know, you know, got another LCQ, another main event. I mean, what's the goal this go around? You got some seat time under your belt now?
Get into the feature again, and, I'm going to be in the back again because I'm in the LCQ. So it's just, for the first couple laps, lay back, let everybody else make some mistakes,
right.
Try to capitalize on them when the time presents itself, and then start charging hard. But, again, just try to take care of the car a little bit better this time. You know, be a little smarter. Going to make a couple adjustments on the suspension so that it was pushing really bad, and that's why I got into the situation where I climbed over the wall. I tried to get it to rotate into the corner, and it just pushed, and I was going right for the wall, and it was either stuff it into the wall and bend a tire rod or hit it straight and put it to the floor and try to get over it, and I can't believe it made it over it, but especially in two-wheel drive. Yeah. So,
well, I appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us, and you know, we'll definitely talk soon, and you know, good luck the second main.
Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate it, man.
All right, we're going to take
thank you.
One short break, and we're going to wrap things up here. But I just saw Joey D from UTV Underground. I'm going to see if I can flag him down in this one-minute break.
There
but, yeah, stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Terracross Radio Edition here, Jim Beaver and Chad Colby. And we'll be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm RJ Anderson, factory Polaris driver, and I drive Polaris because it's the most capable, race-ready off-road vehicle on the market.
When RJ Anderson wanted to set a world record for the longest UTV jump in history, not once but twice, what company did he trust? Polaris and their championship-winning RZR XP1000. RJ is a UTV champion behind the wheel of Polaris vehicles, and he exclusively trusts the Polaris RZRs to bring him race wins and championships against some of the toughest off-road racers in the world. The same Polaris RZRs RJ has won championships in, set world records in, and conquered the wall of death in XP1K2 are available to you at your local Polaris dealer. Take the advice of world record holder RJ Anderson and visit Polaris on the web at Polaris.com to see the full lineup of Polaris RZR vehicles or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. This is the Terracross Radio Edition, and Chad Colby to my left. We got Joey D from UTV Underground in the house, and I got to say, if there is one guy that eats, sleeps, and breathes RZR UTVs, it is Joey D.
This is the guy, and I eat, man. I eat. As you can see, I have been eating hamburgers that look like the size of a RZR out there.
Nice. Yeah.
You can't when you come to the county fair, you eat.
Yeah.
That's
well,
one thing.
Well, the thing we were talking about in the Nelson food, the coolest thing I've seen, I'm scared to try it, but it's a triple cheeseburger, quarter-pound patties, three burger patties, three slices of cheese, and it's all between two Krispy Kreme donuts.
See, Jim, that's the difference between you and I. Sure. Those types of things don't scare me. They don't scare me one bit. I beg to be challenged by triple Krispy Kreme donut cheeseburgers. Actually, I would never eat that. But a couple years ago, we came here. We come here every year. We live really close here, so this is our local county fair. And I did get dared into eating a Krispy Kreme chicken sandwich. And there wasn't a whole lot of going on there.
It
sounded good because didn't really say, okay, I'm fat. It sounded good. And, and then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. I hadn't eaten anything yet, so I was like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. And,
I was going to say, I think you've lost a little weight, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
I figure you're doing all this Destination Polaris stuff and maybe decided to drop a few for the camera or something, but you're looking pretty good. I mean.
Yeah, I haven't lost any weight, but
you'll take the compliment?
I will take the compliment. I have seen the episodes of Destination Polaris I'm on, and I am frequently reminded that I should lose some weight. And the camera definitely adds 15, 20 pounds in my case. But it's all good, dude. It's fun to be here, and it's great for me. I get to have my family here. My parents are in town, so they're hanging out at the track for the last couple of days. And obviously, this is like one big family for me. These are people I've been around for many, many years, and so it's a lot of fun. So yeah. I'm just happy to get to be a part of it at some level.
Well, and I know you, you know, you and I have been friends for quite a while. We've co-hosted radio together and stuff like that. And, you know, I started up my radio show and I knew a little bit about UTVs, and immediately, you know, you kind of stepped in and, it, you know, and have been a big part of my show. And, you know, and now, you know, I'm toting a Polaris, you know, sponsorship and everything else. And, you know, and honestly, you know, everything you do for the UTV industry, everything you've done for me, I mean, tip of the cap to you, man. You really are one of the guys that have helped push not only Polaris Razor movement, but, you know, just the whole UTV industry as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for saying that. I like to think that I'm just doing this because I love it, and I mean, right, at the end of the day, that's what got me into this sport. I was an off-road guy, and I started UTV Underground because we were already going to races and we owned UTVs, we owned Rhinos at the time, and UTV Underground came about just by basically us saying, hey, let's start a website and I can probably build my Rhino for free because people will give us parts to do like reviews and stuff. And so it was started from a totally self-centered side of things as a pure hobby, but has come full circle with turning into my passion. And, I still use it to build free cars. So I'm still very much focused on that.
Well, at least you're honest about it, right?
But at the end of the day, in all seriousness, I do this because I love the sport and I have built friendships with these racers, with people in this industry, companies, promoters. I mean, I'd say a lot of these guys out here are like family to me, the Guthries, the Andersons. These are the Raiders. These are people I've been around that have supported UTV Underground from literally day one. And even before UTV Underground, they were backing us and friends with us. So,
That makes it special though. I mean, it does.
It does. That's why I'm doing this. I believe you have to love what you do to be successful. And I am not motivated by money whatsoever. I'd love to make it if I can. But I'm motivated by knowing that I'm doing something pretty special and that someday I'll be able to look back and be like, I helped grow that thing, you know, like I got to be a part of that at the ground level, and that's pretty special. And so it's been great that we found a way to make some money. I can make a living and I can do what I love, and that's awesome. But at the end of the day, it's all about these guys out here and the people in this sport that we're friends with and just getting to spend time and help boost this whole UTV thing to another level.
So speaking of racing, the grins begin. What do you think so far this weekend in San Diego?
Well, there's been guys that have raced, and then there's guys who haven't done a lot of racing, but they did a lot of other things in their vehicles. You know, there was one guy out there that literally crashed twice on the same jump. He didn't even get a lap in. This fucking – oh, sorry.
Yeah. We'll have to bleep that before this goes to syndication. Yeah.
This poor – maybe you just want to – maybe you want me to cuss my whole way through this one, Jim? No. No, in all seriousness, Jim took a hard hit. I give it to him, man. He took a hard hit the first go around, and then he went right back out there and went for it again. And hey, you know, you're not the only one that I've seen on their first go around get the bad end of the stick. But at any rate,
I did hear though that Joe may have sold that machine.
Yeah, no, I'm in the clear. I'm going to have a new Razor at Minnesota. I'm loving it.
That's absolutely.
You know why though? You think about it. This is going to be the first person to own a 2016 Razor in San Diego.
I mean, it only has. Yeah. I mean,
even Joey D doesn't own a 2016 Razor yet.
I don't. What can I say? You got me there. The one good thing though, Jim, is that you've taken the pressure off Martelli for being the worst UTV driver I've ever seen. So I'm kidding. Hey, at the end of the day, the joke's on us. You get to go drive a trophy truck whenever you
want.
That's
exactly
you know what, the
right.
joke's on us.
I did Chad Ragland, and this was pretty comedic. So Chad Ragland and I were leaving the venue last night, and Chad's a trophy truck guy like me, and his dad and my dad go way back. Both Arizona boys. They raced Class 8 against each other for probably like 20 years. So I've known the Raglands for a long time, and so Chad's on the phone with his dad, and Larry, he must follow social media, saw something and said something about, oh, I'm walking with Jimmy. And he's like, well, tell Jimmy. He's like, I did the same thing last year. Us trophy truck drivers, we don't belong in Terracross.
That's true.
I just laughed because Larry, I guess he pretty much did the same thing I did, and it rung his bell so bad.
Yeah.
They got the car fixed and said, hey, go back out there.
Said,
Larry's
nope.
like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I quit.
That's exactly
he did.
Right.
He threw in the towel, and you know what? No one said a damn word about Larry Ragland throwing in the
lightning,
towel.
Lightning Larry, he can make his own decisions.
He makes his own decisions. Yeah, Chad took a hard one today. He put that bumper straight into the ground, and he's at home. I was texting him, and I said, you know, what are we going to do about the Razor? I mean, you got an LCQ. I know you're hurt. Do you want to put someone in it? And he goes, I would prefer you to drive it if anyone was going to drive it. You get in it. Well, I don't have my suit or helmet, so I told him, don't worry. I'll either use Beaver or Ellis to drive it. He said, don't let anybody drive that Razor. So he's at home recovering. He fared a little bit worse than you, considering.
At least I'm out walking around. But
He's at home already nursing. He's got a pinched nerve. So we hope Chad gets well. He will. He's okay. Chad's... He's a trooper. So, and we got a desert car to get.
And we're all buddies. So, you know, anybody listening, and this is totally all in fun we are all buddies behind the scenes, and that's what's great about, you know, just the off-road community. You know, just generally we all, you know, for the exception of a few, are all pretty much buddies. So
it's all in good fun. We're out here, and it's, you know, we're hanging out in the pits, and it's nothing but trash talking to each other, but it's literally in good fun. And this is pretty cool to be here. And Terracross every year has gotten bigger and bigger, and this year there's a special buzz about it where, you know, the athletes have got a little more prominent, the vehicles are a little better, and the buzz that has surrounded it. Obviously, we're at the Del Mar Fair, which for Southern California, I mean, is a pretty epic venue to be at here on the coast. We've got the beautiful coastline weather, and you know, a lot of fans, a lot of families, kids. Yeah. I mean, it's really the ultimate.
Well, I think you know, even Daryl Rath, a couple of guys were talking about it yesterday. You know, even for me, I've been doing this since it started with Joe, and known Joe from years gone back, and I don't have to tell people what Terracross is anymore.
No,
I mean. You know, this has been going on for a while now, but you don't have to say, people know, they know what it is, and that's cool.
Well, for me, I knew it has turned the corner when, you know, year one, when we got to be involved, it was great, but I didn't hear anybody else talking about it beforehand. Now, especially the weeks leading up to Terracross, it's nonstop phone calls from avid UTV racers saying, how do I go race Terracross?
Right.
You know, because now it's the show, right? Like, yeah, there's more serious championship runs in other race series.
You're 100% right.
Here it's like, then you're nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not the case, really, but that's the way it feels you know, you want to go bang doors with RJ on TV.
Right.
You know, you want to line up next to Twitch and joke around. You want to be a part of the trash talking and the scene, you know. So this is there's definitely a special buzz here. And for me, I'm like I said, I mean, I'm just thrilled that UTV Underground gets to play some role in being a part of this, because this is really one of the biggest things our sports has right now in terms of its growing and pushing to mainstream levels. So.
Well, I keep going back to this, but you know what? The mere fact you can go to your Polaris dealer, stroke some signatures, have a little credit, stroke some signatures, and literally buy the exact same buggy that these are.
Yep.
I mean, minus some decals and some tires, everybody's got the same. Jump in and strap in and go.
Go.
That is just cool.
There's nothing like it in the sport. The closest thing we had was the Jeep.
Right.
And anybody who's driven a Jeep and then gone and driven one of these, I mean, they both have their place in our sport. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more fun factor per dollar in a UTV or in a Razor than there is in anything else. And it is special. You can go finance it. Next thing you know, you can go bang doors with guys like this.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. Terracross is something I've tried to do with UTV Underground was bring in the trophy truck guys to help lend credibility to what we were doing. You know, I introduced Chad to Razors, Ragland to Razors a couple years ago, which then got Larry.
Right.
And that was huge. You know, we got BJ Baldwin into Razors. We had got we got Bryce Menzies into Razors. I mean, that's just Guy Fieri, right? Like other celebrities. And then you come here and it's like, you know, Ronnie Feist and getting Twitch involved. And
LaValle. I mean, and
LaValle, right? You get Levi. So what we've done is we've boosted. Something I was already trying to do for many years was bring the credibility, utilizing other guys from other sports that had, you know, some sort of credibility at either being a champion or being a recognized name to say, hey, these are cool. These aren't just golf carts. Well, and now Terracross is doing that exact same thing. And you get a guy like Twitch who climbed out after his first round,
right?
And he's like, dude, that was so much fun.
Well, the thing is you know, if you're an enduro racer at all, and I don't care if you're Levi or you're Chris Brandt, you're a Midwestern guy like me, but, you know, I raced ATVs out here in the desert and had a ball. You know what you always picture yourself of being in a trophy truck. I mean, no joke. you look at a trophy truck that's $250,000 or however much money, and you go, oh, my gosh. Or you're in the desert on an ATV, and you see the trail where the trophy trucks went, and you're thinking, come on, because it is the most gnarly-looking thing you could ever see with your eyes.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, and they go through there at 100 miles an hour with their hair on fire like it's no big deal. But the analogy really gets unique when you can go buy now with technology. You can buy a machine that is absolutely capable.
Yep.
It's not a 100 hours in your shop with fabrication and special everything to get to go do that. You can buy one of these, grab your buddies, and go.
Yeah.
And that's the cool part.
It is cool. And I mean, it's not a trophy truck, and it's not class one or a rally car. I mean, we're not at that level.
No.
But, you know, I mean, that's not what that machine is. But when you're driving that machine,
yes,
when you're doing 70 miles an hour in a UTV, you might as well be doing 140 in a trophy truck because it's the same sketch level.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that little wheelbase, that amount of suspension, it's all relative.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was telling guys that when we were in Rhinos. When all of our buddies are all in Rhinos, you couldn't have told us that we weren't in trophy trucks.
Oh, yeah.
We all felt like we were going at it.
Hey,
we
guys,
were full on trophy
one of
trucking,
my close,
you know?
You guys will love this. One of my closest friends has got a Polaris dealership that started in the 60s, right? So that means it was snowmobiles only, and then it was ATVs in the 80s, and then they got Polaris Rangers now, side by sides. Then we got these. They sell a pile of razors. Are you ready for this? In Peru, Illinois.
There you go.
That's my point, is you go in, you buy it, you take it out, and you go ride it and have a ball.
Yes.
It makes you feel like you're a superstar.
No, it totally does.
And that's super cool.
Well, and it helps when you see these athletes and these guys endorsing it and saying,
right,
this is fun. This is what I want to be doing.
That's exactly
that right there is like, oh, Twitch does it?
Yeah.
You know, like now it, oh, okay, it's as a dirt bike guy, it's now okay to be a UTV guy too. I just needed someone else to just, you know, give me that that confirmation that it was okay for me to claim that I'm down with it. You know,
it's so fun. You know, growing up with snowmobiles and racing, all that stuff, all my life, what's neat is you start to see the evolution.
Yeah.
From great websites to great radio shows that are sponsored by Polaris. And that's what makes the industry an industry.
Well,
and that's really what we're seeing in the last 10 years. I mean, truly. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I totally 100% agree. And a lot of credit has to be given to what Polaris has done. I mean, they have the other OEMs have definitely played a part, but no one has put this sport on their back like Polaris has.
Wow.
And whether it's backing a series like TerraCross and believing in Joe Duncan's vision, or it's doing projects like we do with XP1K and backing our vision.
UTV World Championship.
That was the craziest machine. Come on. If you haven't seen that, you need to stop what you're doing. Okay, keep the audio playing up in the corner. Go to YouTube. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
RJ and I were joking because we finally feel like we've turned a page when they're not talking about RJ as kid UTV phenom or the truck racer.
Right.
They're calling him the YouTube sensation.
That's right.
And I'm like, dude, we did something here, you know? So,
yeah.
Or he did it. I got to play a small role, but I will never take credit away from the dude that's got to stomp the throttle and do those
crazy things.
Well, it's like with the jump, you know, with the world record jump, and not necessarily the first one, but this one he did in XP1K2. I mean, that was so sketch. And like he was saying, I mean, he pretty much flat bottomed that. I mean, it's just nuts.
You have a whole new appreciation now of what it's like when you're looking at something from up top and people watch these videos and it never really brings in the reality of it until you have to sit in the driver's seat and roll to that lip and you look up and you go, I have to go off of that and I have to go off of that really fast. Reality sets in. It's not easy.
No.
I read these comments a lot of times on YouTube and on the web, and the guys are like, well, I'll do that in my 800. I'll do that in my Rhino. I'll do that. It's like RJ and I just kind of facepalm like, oh, dude, these guys have no idea.
Well, it's the same thing with anything, though. You know, you've got the people with TerraCross. Oh, I could put on a series better than that.
Yeah.
It's I can do a better radio show. I can make a better UTV underground.
Yeah.
You know, and it, Go out and do it then.
Yeah.
That's what I say. You know,
talk
bring
about it.
Be do
about it.
Yeah, do it. Yep. You know, it's one of those things.
That's a good point. Because that's, you know, the thing is it's all about evolution. You know, and we've got great technology from Polaris. That's, I mean, my goodness, we got 2016s here. And you know there's more stuff coming. This thing's just getting rolling. That's what's crazy.
Polaris is nuts because you never know what they're going to come out with. They just drop stuff.
Well, I'm like talking to a guy out here, and I'm like, the way these people work is that we see what we have, and we're like, this is insane.
And they're on.
Where do we go? And they're already four model years ahead of us. They're like, crazy.
Yeah,
wait till you see what we got coming on, you know? So, yeah, that's
wait, we'd
that's
have to
cool.
turn the mics off. Stop the show, and then the three of us could talk about other things.
Well, and I joke around like, you know, I got buddies, you know, who are like, oh man, but it's on if Yamaha and Kawasaki and these guys get in the sport game. I go, yeah, it is on.
Polaris
would love
it.
That's going to light a freaking fire, and it's great for us, you know, all of us that get to enjoy these machines.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing will push this sport better than some real good competition. And Polaris has had a good run, and, of course, you got Can-Am and Arctic Cat that have done a decent job with their sport units. But Polaris certainly has put this sport on their back and has backed visions of growing it with other people outside of their own corporate brand.
Which is good.
Yeah. And it's
bringing
smart.
In the Joey D's of the world, you know what I mean?
You know, backing the visions that we come in with. Yeah. We throw some crazy stuff at them, like, hey, what if we did this? And they're like, okay. And we're like, whoa, really?
Well, it's kind of with me and my radio show. Hey, I want to do this for you. And I'm like, yeah, they're never going to buy this. They're like, well, you know, that could work. Let's tweak it here a little, tweak it there. And they're like, yeah, this will work. You know, and they're very
there
progressive, you know.
They get it. They get it. And what's cool is they don't get stuck into their retarded corporate ways of thinking that they have all the answers.
Right.
They know that there's guys out here that are living and breathing this
right.
that have some really good ideas and some really good takes. And they rely on those resources.
But their employees are those guys. You got guys like Craig Scanlon and you know, and
even
I mean
Jason and
yeah.
you know the other guys there. I mean, they love this. You got Jimmy Andreessen. You got some guys that are sitting back on the in the engineering side that could come out here and wheel with any of these guys. You know what
you
I mean?
Know it.
Like they can come out here and wheel and they know the machines inside out and they love it. So yeah, I've been getting texts all weekend from these guys. You know, like oh my gosh, you know it looks crazy out there.
Well, I got a text from Jason.
Did
DeFuchsia.
You see Jim Beaver's crash? I'm like, oh yeah, I posted the video. Oh my gosh.
You know, and I'm getting texts from Polaris. I showed you earlier. You know, and they're like, you know, but they're so into what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, at this venue, and it's like they can't be here, but they really want to be here.
It kills
you know?
Them when they're not at every event. I have that conversation with Jason and Craig all the time where it's like, you know, they wish their schedules are so
right.
they're so
nuts.
Hectic
yeah.
but they wish they could be so they live vicariously a lot of times through the group text messages
right.
and the photos and the videos so
that's awesome.
It's definitely cool so
all right well I think we could sit here and shoot the ball
say,
all day but
I think the three of us
we got a women's main event an LCQ for the men and a men's main event still to come here at San Diego
it's going to be a lot of fun and it's so exciting and before I go, I just want to give a huge shout out to Joe Duncan and his staff, Liz and Jill, everyone that is out here putting this together. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. There's always a fire to be put out, and they do it so calmly and so professionally. It's really a pleasure to be here with Joe and these guys and be a part of this series. And of course, we got to thank Polaris and everything that they're doing to help us push this sport and be a part of it. It's really fun to be a part of this, and I'm just thankful to get a chance to be out here and just be a part and play a role with helping this sport grow. So thanks to those guys big time, and thanks to you guys for covering this and putting it on. Bleep out my F word.
Yeah, we'll definitely
don't want,
Ford hits Fox Sports. I promise, Joey D. That'll be pulled.
I apologize for that. You know that was bad. You know that was bad for me, but I was caught up in the moment here, and I like to give my boy Jim Beaver a little.
You're passionate.
It's passion. You know,
we're gonna have some fun. We got some Camp Razors on tap this year, and more Terracross. We're gonna have some fun. See?
My language couldn't have been any worse than Ellis's, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Ellis comes on and he goes, last time I interviewed him on a radio show, he goes, okay, he says, so am I allowed to cuss or not? He's like, I can tone it back, but he's like, I really have to think about it. And I'm like, Jason, I'm like, you just be yourself. I said, we'll worry about syndicates later.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I just told him, I'm like, you know, I'm like, you just can't air this, but it's Jason Ellis. We want it on your network. And I'm like, I'll send you the file. I'm like, I'm like, you guys deal with it. And the guy calls me. He's like, well, I didn't realize it was that bad. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have enough time to bleep that many times. But, yeah,
awesome.
All fun, Joey. We got some racing to happen all here right. at Terracross. Definitely check out UTVUnderground.com. Yep. Full coverage, Down and Dirty Radio Show. This is Terracross Radio, Polaris Razor. On behalf of Joey, Chad Colby, Jim Beaver, we got some more racing. We are going to hit it up. And thanks to Polaris Razor for this, Mystic Lubricants. You know, who am I missing there, Chad?
All of them. There's
yeah, GoPro. Yeah, I mean, just a pile of them. Keystone, I know they're involved.
Pro Armor, PRP.
Yeah, it's.
You name it. You know, they're all out here, and that's what's great about this. Walker Evans Racing. Yeah. Of course, you know, our boys over there. So, anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate
right,
it. Let's
you.
Go watch some racing.
All right, we're signing off here. We'll see you Monday on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, downanddirtyshow.com. As always, game on.